Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm living in Houston.
I thought you said you were doing all right.
Hey, man. Hey. It got to 70 degrees for like half a day recently. It was pretty cool. It's back up to like 90 and rainy right now, but.
Of course, yeah.
I've been getting my tabletop simulator league games in. I'm 2-1 with Web Warriors and Spider Foes, and. My loss was unfortunate, but that's okay. It's for funsies.
What affiliation did you lose to?
I took my pretty standard Web Warrior list into, what were they taking? I believe it was Asgard.
Mm.
Like I just got beat to death. They pretty much tabled me.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, that I couldn't score fast enough to win. And I did realize if I had scored fast enough in round two, I could have beat them. Because if I was 3 points ahead, I would have won. Like I could have just run away because they didn't fully table me. It was just I couldn't score points at that point.
To beat them.
But they did eliminate. They eliminated Miles, Venom. Gwen was still on the table barely because she was playing far away, but they eliminated Shuri. And who else did I have that time? I think I had Hawkeye, and Hawkeye was like doing a lot of work, but.
Okay.
Hawkeye's great, Jay. And he's real good in Web Warriors.
Well, that's good.
I think he fills like a gap of just he can stay back while the Web Warriors go on the sides.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? How have you been?
Getting along. Brian's probably going to be having the like one of his shoulders is like his arm is basically a gimp arm at this point, and he can't really use it because it just causes so much pain, and so he's likely going to be having a surgery here pretty soon. So
okay, good luck.
That sucks, but hopefully the procedure will. Make it so that he's not constantly in pain.
Yeah, I hope that works out.
Yeah. I guess before we dive in, as always, check out discountgamesinc.com. There's a fancy new website for you to buy it through. We have all of the pre-sales of October and what we expect for November. So October... You're looking at stuff like Kingpin and Bullseye and Daredevil, etc., right?
Punisher and Taskmaster. That's the one.
Punisher and Taskmaster. Okay. Yeah. This stuff that's in stock from this month, we have
Doctor Strange and Wong.
Yeah, Ghost Ant-Man Rider. And Wasp and Ghost Rider. So those are all ready to ship to you for you to have lots of fun with.
Yeah,
and then of course we're expecting the X-Men stuff in November, and so
The construction site terrain in
that's in October.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. That looks like a really cool set.
Yeah, it does.
I think if people skipped the cosmic terrain set, like that one is super sweet.
Yeah, I
it'll go better with the old terrain.
I'm excited for. I don't have my cosmic terrain's getting painted up right now. And so I'm excited to play on like a cosmic map and cosmic terrain and stuff like that. So that's going to be cool.
I really love my cosmic terrain. And like, I don't even have a cosmic mat. I was just like, I have a dark city mat, so it looks fine on it.
Yeah.
But that cosmic mat looks so trippy. I love it.
Oh, the other thing that that Brian and I are doing, like, so since there's a lot he can't really do too effectively because he has a bad arm, we decided to start watching the MCU movies again, and Brian like dug somewhere into the internet and it like shows you the chronological timeline of when things happen in the MCU, and so we've watched Captain America, and now it has you watch like the first two seasons of Agent Carter.
There's only two seasons.
Okay, well, the first two is what they're having us watch. I don't think it's going to have us watch like all of the Netflix shows as part of it. I think they do have, if there's like some episodes that correspond with the MCU, I think it slices them in there. But yeah, it's my first time watching it, and it's interesting.
It's fine, right? It's fine.
Yeah. My biggest complaint about it is the, like, it just gets like everyone treats her like crap, and they're kind of heavy handed with the misogyny stuff. And on the one hand, like, I appreciate them highlighting that how bad misogyny is, but it also can sometimes make it a little bit less enjoyable that it's just like that's what she has to deal with all the time.
Yeah. I was waiting for, like, you know, everything to kind of get better and her to become the leader at S.H.I.E.L.D. that like I know she should be. And I was just like, any episode they're going to be like, "Oh shit, she's really amazing." And then it kind of gets there in the second season, but that was my big complaint, I thought, was that because it's only two seasons, I think they never really got to the point where I would have been happy with her character. Like, she's a commander. She's like a super spy. She is a Nick Fury, and we never got to see her get fully there. And that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, that's fair. But
have you finished it yet? Or
we're just about tonight we'll finish season one.
Okay.
So I mentioned this on Twitter, but one of the things that was kind of impressive, I mean, at this point, Captain America's a pretty old movie, right? But
yeah,
the special effects in it hold up pretty well, and especially the effects at like the start of the movie where Chris Evans is like this like skinny little runt. I think they did a really good job with, so that was interesting.
Yeah, like, I wasn't sure how they did that, but it looks really good.
Yeah, it does. All right, well, we're going to be talking about Miles Morales.
Yeah.
So let's do that. Do you want to go ahead and start reading this card?
Yeah, so Miles Morales is a three-threat character. He is 5 stamina on both sides. He's a medium mover. He's size 2, which makes sense. He has 3 defense in everything. So, you know, he's kind of got basic defense stats at his core. He has a interesting normal attack. It's called Webline Kick. It's range 3, and it's only 4 dice, but has 0 cost. It has this strike ability, so after this attack is resolved, he gains power equal to the damage dealt. And then he has a wild throw. So, nice range with 3, only 4 dice is a little disappointing, but it's his normal strike, and it has a, you know, pretty common throw, so that's nice. He has, for his paying attack, he has Venom Blast, which is a range 2, dice 7 attack, it costs 3, and it has an incredible ability, which is after the attack is resolved, the target character drops all objective tokens they are holding. So that's really, really good. I think most people are going to be terrified of Miles Venom Blasting someone that has a hammer and picking it up, or, you know, just dropping all their tokens and taking them all. His leadership ability for the Web Warriors is called Great Responsibility, and its allied characters may reroll 1 defense dice. So that's the first part. Everybody gets to reroll 1 defense dice. The second part is that if they are holding or contesting an objective token, they can modify and reroll skulls. First, when people first see this, there's some people that get a little confused and think it means, oh, you get to automatically reroll all skulls. That's not the way it works. You still need another ability that grants you those rerolls. So, for example, if everybody can use that one defense reroll and they can reroll a skull if they're 1 inch from an objective or holding it. Or, you know, it also means any character that has other rerolls like Spider Sense, or if Shuri's letting you reroll, you can reroll skulls for that. So it's pretty cool. He has a place effect. It's called Web Swing, and it's cost 2, and it lets him place 3. And then the next time he makes his basic webline kick attack, you get to add 2 dice, which is really fluffy, and I like it. So it's a place, and then it makes his kick even stronger because he's like swinging into it. Mm-hmm. I love it. He has Spider Sense, just like Peter Parker. So if he is defending against physical or energy attacks or making a dodge roll, he gets to reroll 2 defense dice. So that means he will very frequently be rolling 3. He will be able to reroll 2 defense dice and then reroll another one with great responsibility. He has Stealth, which is that you have to be within 3 to target him with an attack. And then he has Wall Crawler, which is when he's moving, he counts as a size 5, so he can basically move over anything without penalty. Obviously, he's really important to Web Warriors as their leader. But even then, like, I think he's a pretty solid 3 character to bring in because of Venom Blast. He has something that nobody else has in the game innately, an ability to make a character drop objective tokens. And so, like, I think right off the bat, Venom Blast might open him up to, like, a lot of different choices for people.
So, real quick, his backside is identical to the front. Is that correct?
Yes, he's exactly the same on his backside.
Yeah.
Backside.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting discussion, right? Do you, like, how well, if obviously if you're doing Web Warriors, you're going to be taking him, but how often when you're like, oh, I need a 3-point character, do you think you're going to be considering him as an option?
I think you're only going to be considering him if you, well, I think Stealth makes him an interesting objective player, but I think really it's up to how much you want Venom Blast, and I would say it's hard, right? Because Valkyrie has a really good chance of, like, dazing a lot of characters if she has the power.
Right, yeah.
And so the question is, like, is Venom Blast and his web swing better than Valkyrie potentially dazing someone and charging, right? She gets to move as well. She gets a lot of offensive powers. And so I think it's hard to, like, fully argue for or against it without knowing the rest of your roster.
Sure.
I would say that, like, in Cabal, you probably want Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm.
But in Avengers, you might choose him because he can do web swing for 1. I think he might in Criminal Syndicate, and in Criminal Syndicate, he might be, like, a really good choice, just because he's able to, like, toss a token to someone else after he grabs it,
mm-hmm.
And kind of avoid taking any more attacks. So
I think one of the things that's a little bit difficult with it as well is that, so you mentioned Valkyrie. I think that's obviously a valid point or valid comparison, or opportunity cost might be a better way of saying it. Another one, though, that I think is interesting to compare them to, and obviously they fall different niches, and that's, I guess, maybe why you would maybe consider this other character. But if you compare them to another 3-point character, of, say, Iron Man, who is also pretty good at securing farther back locations, but then also being able to hopefully shoot out of that. That's, you can do some cute things, like, you know, maybe move or do a web sling and an attack and then move back to the thing. But in general, it seems like maybe a 3-point character like Hawkeye or Iron Man might be, I think there might be more situations and more lists where that's something that you're looking for, as opposed to what Miles is providing. But I will say that I do think that in Web Warriors and with his leadership, et cetera, that he's a fantastic character.
Yeah. I think he's giving something to the game that isn't there yet.
Right.
Right. And I think that immediately makes me like start trying to figure it out. Honestly, Criminal Syndicate is kind of the only list that I really love him in. Because in Criminal Syndicate, you can pass objective tokens.
Mm-hmm.
So he can Venom Blast someone, take the token, and then pass it to, I don't know, Crossbones.
Get over. Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. And that makes Venom Blast more versatile. But
one that I think some other situations that you can potentially be building towards as well is that in the past, this had been a little bit more the case. This might change, I guess, as it evens out a little bit. But you know, previously, the player who won initiative most commonly picked secure, it feels like to me, right? And so that gave you an opportunity to be creative with extracts if you're the other player. And it can kind of throw people's plans out if you like throw them a curveball or something like that. And there's some of the extracts that are a little bit less popular where, for example, the ones that competitive players tend to not like these scenarios where it's like go up to the try to find the scroll and you have to roll a wild or a crit to find it. But when you do, and if you get that token, then you're scoring a lot of points. And those are, I think that he kind of gives some counterplay with that, where if you pick that scenario, and if your opponent ends up being the player who gets lucky on that die roll, then Miles can potentially come and get that token from the other player. So that was one of the things that I considered with it as a potential way to kind of accentuate some of the things he does. And I think it also has the added bonus of any time where you can like force your opponent to play some scenarios or some styles that they're not used to, that can be something that's an advantage to you. So if you have, you know, become kind of familiar with these scenarios that are a little bit less popular, that's something that can be a little bit of a advantage as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've taken Wakandan herbs a lot with Web Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just as a counterplay to other like lists that want to compete with me in scoring points. So that specifically build like a list where I can have an offensive spiders list with like MODOK and Ghost Rider and try to don't have enough points for that. But
curses. No, wait,
yeah, you can do it. You can do it. MODOK Ghost Rider, because you can have 10 points of spiders. You can only do it at 20 for that one. But the idea that I had was like I can make a list where I just try not to let my opponent score Wakandan herbs, and I try to outscore them in the other scenario.
Mm.
Or just threaten, you know, Spider-Gwen Wakandan herbs, and knowing that I have Miles protecting their depot ready to Venom Blast them. I think it gives you a lot of, like, weird play that we haven't seen before, because it's very denial, right? Sure. I think honestly though, most of the time we see Miles, he's going to be in Web Warriors, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's not a leader that's going to get played a lot out of Web Warriors. So maybe we should focus more on the team itself.
Okay. So I got an early morning game this morning, playing some Web Warriors, and you've been playing it in the league, and it's been the most popular affiliation up to this point in the league. I know that they just allowed list changes. I don't know if how much I didn't look at the stats yet of how that changed things.
Defenders replaced them because it opened up Defenders, but it's still second or third most popular.
Sure. So you've had some games with playing them and then also playing against. Mm-hmm. I guess what are some of the things that you would consider core to Web Warriors list?
So I think the main win condition for Web Warriors is to score points while also denying them. So it's mostly cheaper characters, right? Because it's 3-3, 4-4 for their in faction choices. And it's I feel like basically they're getting a really good defensive bonus. So sorry, my throat's giving me trouble. But I think, you know, when you play Web Warriors, you choose the most spread out scenarios you can get with as many ways to score points as you can. So like you don't pick gamma shelters because that clumps everybody up, something like mm-hmm. you pick a B scenario or a D scenario or an F scenario, because B and D are the ones that are either a box or a diamond. And then F is the like star shape, dropping of objectives mm-hmm. like cosmic cubes have. So you want to pick as many ways to score, as you can. In my opinion, because you're trying to bring, generally you're bringing five characters.
You're trying to do fast scoring. You're trying to, yeah.
And then you're also trying to use, so Venom and Peter Parker have ways to pull enemy characters or throw them off of objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Gwen is, you know, defending the team while also kind of swinging in and being your long range mover to grab points and kind of run away when she needs to. Miles, I feel like, is your, you know, backline, midline character because he's got stealth. So he's better as a staying back or, you know, going up when he needs to Venom Blast somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Miles also has a lot of, I think his web swing gives him a lot of movement shenanigans that people don't expect.
It is kind of interesting that like a range 3 web sling followed by a range 3 attack is actually a pretty long distance.
it's a lot more than people expect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had some people that go like, oh, and then he can, like, he gets a lot done with it. So I think they're playing, you know, Web Warriors are playing defensively and trying to score as fast as possible. But they have the game to stop your opponent from scoring too.
So I don't know that we've already talked about this other character, but I guess this will be as good a time as any to bring him up. So what I would say that Peter Parker is probably the least popular member of Web Warriors. Would you say that that's an accurate statement?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we still have people saying that Peter Parker is like worthless or overcosted pretty frequently.
So how often are you doing, you know, Miles, Gwen, Venom plus X other characters versus doing all four Web Warriors?
I have actually been I've been building Peter and Gwen, or I've been building Miles and Gwen as the core, and then I have been picking either Venom or Peter Parker based on a couple things. So I had a game when I had the game with the Asgardians, I knew that I would be needing that bodyguard with Venom, and I knew I would need like the offensive capabilities, so I picked Venom. But I had another game like where I was playing Guardians, and I knew everything was spread out, and I would need Peter Parker's ability to pull someone off a point and then throw another person with his superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked him. So I see it as generally you're gonna have to pick at least three Web Warriors, sure. Maybe four. And I think choosing Venom or Peter is kind of up to which scenarios you have in front of you. But I'm avoiding Venom unless I need him against the opponent's team. And part of the reason I'm thinking I don't always need Venom, because Venom's amazing. I think the all webbed up card is really great at like buffing Peter Parker and the other spiders up. And it's, you know, it's better if you have Venom as well. But I think it's based on what you have in front of you. What scenarios are you dealing with and what is your opponent bringing? So like if I was going up against another Web Warrior team, or a Guardians or even an Avengers, I would probably choose Peter Parker over Venom if it was like up to them. But I do think both of them are really good because with all webbed up, it's best if you have four webbed warriors, because it's so all webbed up is a Web Warrior team tactic card that comes with Miles and Ghost Spider. It says a Web Warrior character may spend 3 power to play this card, and each enemy character within 3 suffers the slow condition. And then for the rest of the round, all allied Web Warriors get 2 bonus dice when attacking them. So you use all webbed up, you slow everybody around you, and then every Web Warrior gets 2 extra dice when going in on them. So it's pretty cool just because you put slow on a bunch of people, but then you also get bonus attack dice. So all of a sudden, you know, Peter Parker and Miles and Ghost Spider are hitting above their limit, and Venom just becomes a complete beast as long as he's attacking someone with slow.
Yeah, I obviously that is one of the signature team tactic cards for this affiliation. And it, when I was playing my game today, it kind of surprised me a little bit. Just, you know, I ended up moving in, web slinging in Miles. He did his basic attack, and you know it was swinging for 8 dice, which was pretty good for a basic attack.
Yeah, and then you gain the power, so you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, any final thoughts before we move on to our comic book book club?
I Web Warriors is maybe my favorite team. And I'm really excited to like talk more about it. But I think when people are playing Web Warriors, I'd like to encourage people to give Peter Parker more of a try than they have before, because I really do think he's an amazing character for scoring and also like denying objective points.
Doing the things that Web Warriors is wanting to do.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not very offensive, but he's not supposed to be.
Yeah. The matchup that I played this morning, it actually ended up being a Web Warriors mirror match. Mm-hmm. I selected the 16-point level, and so our lists were very similar, where we each had Miles, Gwen, Venom, and Black Widow. And then the only difference between the lists was I had Peter and he had Green Goblin, which I do think that Green Goblin was is interesting in the Web Warriors faction, but I was happy with how my list played, and I thought Peter did a good job, so I will agree, give him a try. My last thought with Miles, and I guess for game balance wise, I can probably see why they did this, but there is a part of me that does wish that he was like Peter and Gwen and had long movement.
Oh, I always grab the long movement tool when I'm building. Right? I'm always like, yeah, and he moves long, and I'm like, no, wait.
Oh wait, no, he.
Yeah,
does.
I'm guessing the web swing plus long wouldn't have worked, which is too bad. But
it also, I think you're right, and it also probably would have like just having an affiliation where everyone is like moving forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, okay, well, let us move on and let's start talking about our comic book book club.
Okay. So we read the beginning of Ultimate Comics Spider-Man.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, we had a long enough break that I read, like, probably 20 deep.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you read further than me, Jay. I only read the first, like, 10 issues.
Yeah, I definitely went past that.
But we told everybody to read the first 6 issues, and then both yes. Jay and I were like, oh, this is really good, and we both just kept reading.
Yes.
So if you're looking up on Marvel Unlimited, this is the Ultimate Comic Spider-Man that starts in 2011. The naming convention is a little confusing because basically in the Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker died and Miles Morales was like the new Spider-Man that they introduced. And I talked a little bit about it last, but basically, you know, the whole point of the Ultimate Comics is to be the like more realistic modern comics versus the Marvel Universe, and they realized they couldn't keep doing the stories they wanted to tell with Peter Parker, and so they made a more, you know, representative character for, hey, what if we made a teenager from Queens become a spider hero? So we get Miles. Jay, I've never read this. This was my first time reading it, and I was surprised how similar the beats are to Spider-Verse, the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Like, the number 64 being in there was kind of similar. But so the major difference is that his dad is not a cop in the comics. And he was a cop in Spider-Verse, but like his uncle Aaron being involved in him getting bitten by the spider, him kind of admiring his uncle Aaron while his dad is like trying to tell him and warn him not to be involved with him. The main things are really similar.
I would definitely agree. Two of the things that kind of stuck out to me is like kind of bigger, the bigger differences that kind of, I don't know what's the right phrase. They stuck out to me. I don't know if they, I guess I kind of had this story, like I just love Spider-Verse so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I kind of had this story set as what Spider-Verse is.
Mm. And
so like some of the differences, like if I had read this first, I don't know that it would, some of the differences would bug me like they did having watched the movie first. But two examples of that. One is, like his uncle is just way more unlikable in this and like seems like just a quite a bit worse person than in the other one. Not that he's a great guy in Spider-Verse, but he's like blackmailing his nephew in this one, right?
Yeah, that was fucked up. I did not see that coming. after getting movie Uncle Aaron and then comic Uncle Aaron's just like, you're gonna do some work with me, and he's like, no, I'm not. And then they fight and you're like, what the fuck, like
what's going on?
Well, cause, so I really liked how Miles pulls off his mask in the Spider-Verse movie and his uncle is just like, oh shit, I can't fight him.
Right.
But comic Uncle Aaron is just like, I'm gonna whoop your ass and then you're going to do what I want you to do. It was really cool. It was very different. And then I really liked how his Uncle Aaron kind of mysteriously dies while they're fighting, and it's very unclear like what caused the explosion that killed him. And of course Miles blames himself, but like I was kind of I didn't get far enough to like find out if there was some conspiracy or something, but I'm expecting there to be, you know, Kingpin blew him up or something. Did they get to that later, Jay?
Sorry. On what question on did, later?
So did they ever show how Uncle Aaron really died? Like, because Miles didn't kill him. It was some sort of accident, right?
Yeah. It does go into that some, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. And there were other little moments. I really liked how S.H.I.E.L.D. basically like picks him up and they're like, what the hell are you doing, kid? Like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Another thing that was weird to me, a difference between the two I don't know. So like it says, and this might just be like different phrases in regional dialect, I guess, maybe in America, for different parts of school or whatever. But like at one point They keep referring to him as being in grade school.
Oh yeah, when he's actually in yeah. So I think that's a New York City thing.
Yeah, maybe. Here in the sticks in Idaho, grade school
is elementary,
grades 1 through 5.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was kind of strange about it at some points, especially it felt like in some of the earlier issues, it felt like the drawings of him, he looked younger than in Spider-Verse, and it's almost like he had some baby face / baby fat still going on. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
He's supposed to be 13.
Right. It says that in the comics later, he's 13. Which that's fine. It does. I do have a little bit harder time, like, if he had been like an 8-year-old in grade school or something, then that would have a harder time being interesting to me, I guess. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I think the grade school thing is it is like a combination of, it's like a New York City thing, right? Like they have all the school programs organized as like elementary and middle school or grade school.
Okay.
I'm not 100% on that. But yeah, I remember I've come up across this before where like someone says that and I'm like, what? New York City is weird. I think it was a coworker who was telling me about it, who grew up in New York. But yeah, he's 13. He is basically in middle school. And you know, he's gotten into this fancy school, this, you know, basically charter boarding school for like gifted kids. And he starts by wearing a Halloween costume of Spider-Man. He gets the suit from Nick Fury, not from Aunt May, like he does in the movie. Mm-hmm. I really liked in this comic how people keep confronting him for like stealing Spider-Man's like persona. Like mm-hmm. They're like, you can't be Spider-Man. Like Spider-Man died. and they're like, they're like, Spider-Man was my friend. You can't just go around calling yourself Spider-Man and wearing his costume. And I thought that was really cool. And it's like kind of something that, you know, he never actually met Peter Parker in the comics. So he's basically just becoming Spider-Man because he got spider powers and mm-hmm. he's a kid and he's like, well, I guess I'm now the new Spider-Man. And I think it's partly to do with the way Bendis created him, like the number 64 and everything. It's fate has made him Spider-Man. And I think that's that's very intentional that he's supposed, like the way he sees it is correct. Fate has created him to be the next Spider-Man. And like they don't go into it because it's almost like, yeah, of course.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Of course I'm now Spider-Man. Like, why wouldn't I be?
So I guess is there anything else that we want to say about his origin or background?
I mean, I think it's really cool how streamlined this origin story is before it starts getting into how, like, it feels better paced than most, like, old comic origins, where they just had to fit everything into one issue. I really like how we get this really cool slow build of, well, here's this person, and here's how they got the powers, kind of semi-randomly, and here's how they've, like, kind of coped with how weird it is that they have superpowers, and what are they gonna do, and, like, he doesn't really, like, it seems like he doesn't really want to be a superhero. Like, he's not seeking powers. He's not out to do it. He just gets these powers. And then he's like, well, shit, what am I going to do with them? The part where he goes into the burning building and saves people for the first time is very much like, it seems like he gets that adrenaline and that joy of being a hero. And that's kind of like the reason. And there's something else I thought was kind of cool is that Miles is almost like the opposite of Peter Parker in a lot of ways, where Peter Parker kept his secret identity from like everyone, and Miles doesn't. Like he has people that know he's Spider-Man, and he has people that help him. And he's more, you know, he's more involved in being his secret identity. Like Peter Parker always fails at being Peter Parker because he's too busy being Spider-Man. And Miles Morales spends, you know, more time as Miles Morales, and he doesn't sacrifice his human identity in order to be a superhero. He does a better job of balancing things than Peter Parker does.
Mm.
And I think it's really cool because Miles Morales is a different version of the Spider character. And when we read Gwen, you know, I kind of think like Spider Gwen is also kind of a, what if instead of Peter Parker, we had, you know, spunky, like rock and roll girl Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did a really good job, and yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap this episode up, and we'll continue the conversation in the next one?
I guess I think it tells you a lot about this character and the story that when they destroyed the Ultimate Universe, like the only character that made it into the Marvel Universe was Miles, because they were like, yeah, we have to keep him alive. Because I think it's Miles Morales made it because he was like, he hid in the bad guy's ship that like saved themselves at the end of their universe. And then they just kind of like, we're like, yeah, and whatever, his family made it too. it's so weird. I love it.
I am kind of looking in the next episode. One of the topics I'll bring up for us to discuss is some of the stuff with his father, because I think that is one of the more interesting parts of this arc as well. So
cool.
Stay tuned for that. So, Greg, can you tell us about our next comic arc for Ghost Spider?
Yeah, so we're going to read a more recent comic for Ghost Spider. It's called Ghost Spider 2019, and we're going to read issues number 1 through 5. This is basically Ghost Spider coming to the main Marvel Universe more than the other comics, and I really like it. It's really fun. She starts college with Peter Parker, basically. It's very cool.
Okay, well, I am looking forward to that. So, Greg, before we go, why should people back us on Patreon?
Well, people who back us on Patreon get access to our bonus episodes, which are really cool because you get bonus Greg, guess also some bonus Jay, whatever. And you also get next week's episode and bonus episode a week early than we release. You also gain access to our Discord, where you can hear me like constantly squee over every little bit of new Marvel news. like they cast She-Hulk, and I'm super excited about that for the Marvel, the Disney Plus series. And you can tell me why Hero Quest is actually good and not just nostalgia bait. And I'm kidding. Please, Hero Quest people, don't kill me. I've never played it. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either, but it is kind of funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our Discord is basically like our secret clubhouse for all our subscribers, and it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of like really good strategic conversations in there. Like, there's been a lot of talk about Ant-Man recently because he just came out, and
he's all the hotness.
Yeah, he's apparently the best three cost in the game.
Well, there you go.
I mean, that's I just summarized it, but you should still follow us on Patreon, please. And it, best of all, it supports Jay and I getting together every week and recording these episodes.
Hopefully every week, every weekend.
Every week.
I am going to try to have my life back in order and us doing our schedule. So that'll be good.
Jay, I don't know. As soon as you get your life back together, mine's going to fall apart. So.
You know, that would be very on brand for this this year. So,
but anyways, thank you so much, everybody who listens and helps us out and supports us on Patreon and gets all the fun bonus goodies and gets to listen to Bonus Greg.
Bonus Greg. All right. Well, stay tuned and you too can listen to Bonus Greg.
Tatiana Maslany. That's who they cast as She-Hulk.